All right, all right. Jeff is watching. He just told me that he loved us. So there he is. Love it, love it, love it. Hey, so some of you guys, you know, you come in here on a Sunday and you don't really have maybe some expectation, or you're sitting here kind of going, all right, you know, I'm at church, you're in a routine type of deal, and some of you carried stuff in, some of you got some heavy loads on you. Some of you need to know how to get rid of some of those heavy loads. And as I mentioned earlier, when we were, you know, transitioning from worship into offering, of being a yes, Lord generation of God, what do you have? I want to be a part of it and take the hindrances out of there, you know, in my mind, these hardships. And so I wanted to give you guys just we're talking about Titus. And if you know this, Titus is just three chapters, but it's more than that. There's so much depth to it. And just knowing the geography of the island of Crete and what Crete was about, there's actually a lot of similarities to today, and let me explain why. Crete was an island in the Mediterranean Sea, and it was a port. So what happened was all these ships would come to Crete, and they would trade the you know, whatever was on their boats. They would be coming in and out, constantly resupplying, going to the next spot. So a lot of ships would stop at Crete. And it was what I would be considering is the modern day internet. So people would land in Crete, get their information, and then move on. And so that's the reason why Paul found it so important to say, hey, Titus, we got to do something about this island. We need to put the good stuff and get it right, and do it right the first time, because there's a lot of people that are coming in and out of this island, and we've got to convey the good news. We've got to tell them what's happening. Because if you look at geographically speaking, you'd be like, why bother? Because it's just this small little island, big deal. I mean, go to Italy, right? Just bypass Crete, go to Italy, go to France, go to Europe, go wherever, go to the large land masses. No, Paul made a very important deduction: Crete. This is where everyone's getting their information. This is where people are going. This is where we need to get the good news out. And so I think for some of us in this room, you may not realize how influential you are.
Right.
on both ends. One, as a sponge, and one, as a giver. So a lot of times, you carry stuff. And then you're like, why are you this way? The other night, my wife and I were sitting on the couch, and I got one of those emails, and it was one of those medical emails that tells you that your insurance didn't pay for the full bill, right? And you're like, what? Right? And you get all angry. So I get over it, you know, over it, and I'm sitting there on the couch, and about 15 minutes later, I'm watching the television, but I'm not, because I'm thinking. Right? I'm angry. And all of a sudden, Anna goes, oh, scratch behind my knee. You know, scratch right there. Get, and I'm going, what? What? And she's putting like her leg in my face, right? Like, scratch your own knee. Like, and that's exactly how it came out. Because I'm like this, right? Because there's a leg in front of me. And I'm like, and then it hits me. What am I doing? And she's like, no, not there, not there. And I'm getting aggravated. And I go, you just scratch your own knee. And then finally she just, you know, the knee, it's like this, right? And then it slowly comes down. You okay? No, I'm not okay. Right. I'm carrying something. And in carrying something, I'm distributing out what I'm carrying. And it's not good. Like, I need to recognize she's not the cause of this. I need to get it right. And what does the Lord tell us? To bring our request to him. To say, hey, you take care of this. And God says, I'll take care of it. I'll fight for you. Don't worry. I'll fight for you. But see, what's happened on the island of Crete, man, they were just carrying all kinds of things. The influence on that island. I mean, there was all sorts of religions that were being transferred back and forth, these thoughts of beliefs, this notion of I'll just cut you. There was this cutthroat type of mentality with a lot of these individuals. So Crete was pretty powerful play in the move of Christianity across this world. And then we need to realize where we stand today on the same notion that Paul is saying to Titus, get your act together. And then he's telling all of the elders, the pastors of the churches, hey, make sure you herd in everybody and get everybody together. And that's what we're doing on Sunday morning, herding you all together and saying, all right, now listen, it's important. You're about to go out. You're about to go to the shipyards. You're about to go to your workplaces, your families. Now let's straighten up here, because we need to be the example for everyone to follow. The greatest danger to me is me. For everyone in this room, the greatest danger is me. How I handle what's being given to me. What I do with it. So I've got to be really careful, and I've got to really have a full understanding of the grace that's presented for me by Jesus. Now, guys, oh man, what the book of Titus is telling us is that we have a sin problem. That there's sin living inside of us, not outside of us. Yes, there is sin outside in the sense of we can see it. And there's the avoidance of allowing it to affect us, but it's not telling us not to avoid going out there, all right? But that sin problem that's inside of us, what's so great is to know is that God has sent his son to do something about it. Not you. That's where we get into this, man, it feels like you can't be a good Christian. And that's because you're the one trying to choo-choo up the hill. You got to recognize that it's by him, his grace is your hope. So in Titus chapter 1, this is amazing, by the way. In Titus chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, you don't see one mention of intelligence or education. Not one mention. And all of the correctiveness of this of these scriptures to say, hey, make sure you don't have rebellious children. Hey, make sure you keep your house like good. Hey, make sure that you're willing to welcome people in your home. All of these corrective measures of like, hey, make sure you find this and those people who live in a right way of thinking. It's not about education. It's not about intelligence. Some of us dumb folk in the room need to be like, yeah! Woo! Maybe I'm the only one. Man. Years ago, I went to my 20th high school reunion, and we're sitting at this dinner table, and I was so excited to see. I went to a Christian school, so I'm still actually friends with some of my kids I graduated with, and I remember so excited to introduce my wife to some of these individuals. She's just heard some stories, and so we sit down at this table, and this girl, Crystal, who I love dearly, she said, oh, your husband passed because of me. Shut up, Crystal. We don't need to tell Anna how dumb I am, like, or how lazy I was, that I wouldn't do all the homework that I was supposed to, and I'd just be like, Crystal, give me yours. All right. So for me, I love that I can read in Titus chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, and realize this is not about an education. This is not about an intelligence. What it is, it's about a relationship with Jesus, and it's a heart condition. And when I present myself to him, he begins to tweak and fix. So in Titus chapter 1, verse 15, it says, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure. That's what's important. But nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and consciences are corrupted. I love it when I hear people be like, did you hear about this celebrity? Are you not just blown away? And I'm like, no, not at all. This is like their sixth wife. You're like, and? This is, some of you in the room are like, I've had seven. No, it's okay. Like, you hear about these scandalous things that have happened. You're like, I can't believe it. And you're like, why? Why? Yeah, you should. But nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and conscience are corrupted. Such people claim they know God. They deny him by the way they live. They are detestable and disobedient, worthless for doing anything good. There it is. It's like you see a celebrity and they're wearing a cross necklace. And you're like, oh, they're a Christian, are they? Like, you know. Hey, he dedicated the song to Jesus. And you're like, did he? Like, I don't think so. I don't think so. Here's the problem. We hold on to these things. Our workplace, our identity, we want to get ahead. Just all the things that we do, and especially the material things, we want to hold on to these things. And it's by holding on to these things that then we realize, like, we think, oh, it's a work. It's a work. You know, I'm working for these things. It's a pride moment. And you get real prideful, and you're like, I've got this, and I've done that. And you're sure of yourself, and that's who I am. It's my arrogance, and this is, you know, and that's great. But Jesus warned us about those things. And what's sad is those things keep us from saying yes to him. They keep us from saying yes. And here's the irony, which is crazy, that in the book of Deuteronomy, there are four different points in this book. You see it in Deuteronomy 14, 29. You see it in Deuteronomy 15, 10. Deuteronomy 23, 10. You see it in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8 and verse 12. You see that God tells those who will obey him that he will bless everything to which they put their hands. So that when we let go of the things that are hindering us from him, he will bring back some of those things in his way. That you go only by him. God's taking care of me. He tells us and reconfirms this in Matthew chapter 6, that when we focus on him, he takes care of everything else. So the thing that's holding us back from him, he says he'll provide those things. Like, don't worry about it. Like, do what I want you to do, and I will take care of your needs. I will bless you, protect you. I'll watch over you. Some people are holding on. They say, I don't know. Let go of it. Let go of it. See, what's beautiful is that his blessing, it permeates every aspect of a person's life. Health, relationship, work, family, emotions, and thoughts. When you do what he's called you to do, he takes care of it all. He'll put it all in alignment. And he does it in perfect order. In perfect order. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15, this is where we learn how we can do it. Now, I talked about this last week, and I want to bring it again. I want to overlap, but I want to bring in a few more extra stories just to help us, because I believe it's really going to be important. So in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, and it says, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. So how are we going to be able to let go of all these things? How are we going to be able to pick up what God wants us to do? By his grace. Verse 12, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. Where do we get wisdom? That's not a real word. Wisdom, righteousness, and devotion. Where do we get that? From him. He will supply that, okay? So, verse 13, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed, he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin. Every kind of sin. Every kind of sin. Let's make it a song. I don't know if you guys remember growing up, I had teachers and they would teach you songs about how to memorize things. And I know all of the presidents of the United States. George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, John Quincy Adams. And I'm 43 years old and I know all of these presidents. Because why? Because I have this song stuck in my head. Okay, here we go again. I want everybody with me, okay? Let's get this. Let's get groovy, people. I feel like the guy from Yo Gabba Gabba. Okay. Free us from every kind of sin. Come on, let's get some soul in it. Every kind of sin. You know what always burns me up when people are like, yeah, I got that thorn in my side. What a really weird doctrine that we contradict the scriptures with. Got that thorn in my side. I'm always going to be addicted to this. I'm always going to have that thing. Every kind of sin. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin. Some of us are like, nah. Every kind of sin. Not just a little bit. Every kind of sin. I'm so confused. How we get into this notion that we're like, ooh, maybe some. No, every kind. Every kind. To cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. You must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary. So don't let anyone disregard what you say. Titus chapter 3:3-7. Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. This is Paul's testimony. He's telling us, man, I've seen it. I've been there. I've done it. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Amen. This is good stuff. This is that recognition of saying, all right, you're telling me, Pastor Josh, if I let go of these cares and I just pick up what he cares about, then he's going to start making a work inside of me. Yes, that's exactly correct. You'll be able to lay down those things that are holding you back. Yes, it's not a matter of wisdom from earthly wisdom. It's his wisdom. How are you going to get that? How are you going to get your strength to do it? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? He gives us discernment and wisdom, strength, peace, the endurance that we need. The Holy Spirit will instruct you on what you need to do. So it's so important that whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you do it by faith. You guys, I believe in a great flood. I believe that Noah built a boat. Praise you, Jesus, that he stepped out in faith, because that's why you're living and breathing right now. I mean, for real. For real. For some of us in this room, we're sitting here going, life just happens. No. I'm going to tell you right now, it's by people who are willing to step out in faith, and we are living and breathing right now. People, we just discredit all of the past. Man, praise you, Jesus, that people have stepped out in faith and have continued to preach this good news right now. That I don't have to live in condemnation. That I don't always have to be watching over my back. That I'm not worried that I'm the one who has to fight for my fights. No, no, no. He takes care of me. I'm thankful for what Titus did on the island of Crete and stepping out of faith and stepping out of his comfort zone and going, all right, this looks a little weird and it looks pretty difficult, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because whatever he says, I'm going to do it by faith. So, here's a great faith story found in the New Testament. Mark chapter 5:24-29. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. And we skip down, Mark chapter 5, verse 34. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Hey, let me explain how this is happening right here. So she heard from the Holy Spirit by the word of God. Because in Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. She heard the good news about Christ. She got all excited because she knew what the scriptures had foretold about Jesus Christ. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. His robe had a name for the tip of his robe, which was wings. And so there was healing in that. So that woman knew that if I touched his robe, I'm going to be healed. This was outside the box thinking. No matter what the Holy Spirit instructs you to do, step out in faith. That faith is action. Action steps. I'm going to do this. So what does Jesus say? By your faith, you've been made whole. Some of us got to step out in faith. Man, we look at it in the natural and we go, that's weird. Can't do that. Oh my goodness, no way. I'll look crazy. Oh, you're telling me to spend how much money to go do this, Jesus? Oh, Lord. You look at your spouse one day and you go, hey, I think we're supposed to go on a missions trip. And your spouse looks back at you and says, we can't, we don't have the money. And you go, yeah, we don't have the money. Great observation there. But God's telling us to go do this. He'll take care of it. When you do what he's called you to do, he'll take care of it. He's always done it. He provides. Time and time again, throughout all of the scriptures, you see a provision that is met with stepping out in faith. If you know that the Holy Spirit has told you to go do something, as we just read in Titus, the Holy Spirit will give you that power. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He poured it out for what reason? To give us power and to do what he needs us to do. It's supernatural to think that 2,000 plus years ago, we're still talking about Jesus. His power still reigns. None of you believe that, just the four of you. Because you're not putting your faith to practice. You're like, So you live on doubt. Maybe. My encouragement to you is to go home and pray. To go home and sit and go, all right, it's important that I just sit in God's presence. Lord, I thank you. To pray without ceasing. I'm gonna botch up this quote that I read yesterday to Anna, but it was by Spurgeon. It said, people may ask, you know, what's more important, reading the Bible or praying? And he said, I ask, what's more important, breathing in or breathing out? Reading your Bible and praying all together, of being in his presence by hearing the word of God, by praying to know what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do and putting it to action. I have people that want to fight faith. But what if when it doesn't happen? I know those moments happen. I can't explain those moments. But I'm not going to stop preaching the message that what the message tells, the word of God tells me to preach, which is to give people faith, to teach them about it, to tell them, hey, step out in faith, to do what the word of God says. So, I'm telling you what, I love it. We need to preach this power. Acts 10:38, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, Listen, you guys want to sing again? I'm in the singing mood right now. Oppressed by the devil. Oppressed by the devil. Did I? I don't think I misread that. Oppressed by the devil. Not oppressed by God. Oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Jesus, God was with him. The instruction that Jesus gives us to teach faith, to teach people to know that the Holy Spirit is going to do some great and mighty things through each one of us. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 47. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. Why is this important? Because even Peter and those that were in the upper room and those that the few thousand that were that day, they were all kind of like, yeah, this was a Jewish thing. And he even put it in his own bubble. In the same way that we do it today, we say, oh, it was like an old day thing. It was like a one-time occurrence thing. Like we push it far down the timeline. In the same way Peter did it, Peter was like, yeah, it's a Jewish thing. It's a Jewish thing. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? It's important. Peter and all those Jewish leaders were amazed. Hold up. We were off. We were off. All of those years that took place with Jesus here on this earth and all the signs and miracles and wonders he was doing. And then he instructs the disciples, hey, I want you to go and do these same things. And those things that you'll do, you'll even greater and mightier. John goes on to say that we can't even write all the things that he did. I mean, it's amazing. You realize there's so much going into this. There's this instruction, these years that have passed, that all those things Jesus did. John says, I can't even write enough about it. Jesus goes on to tell everybody, you're going to do these things even greater and mightier. Then he instructs Paul, hey, Paul, I need you. On the road to Damascus, says, hey, I need you. You got to change what you're doing. Through you, you're going to write a lot of letters. It's going to be strategic. We have a strategic plan that's going to take place. He gives instruction. All of this is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. All of it. All of this is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. The reason why this world today is in such a mess. That was the grandma hand, by the way. The older I get, the more I do it, I think. But our world is in such a mess, and we say, why is the church just falling to the side? It's because we've pushed the Holy Spirit to the side. I mean, we get trampled on all the time, and we're just passive. Why? Because we don't know the boldness of the Holy Spirit. We put it on ourselves, and by putting it on ourselves, we go, I'm not going to say anything. Because you don't know what to say. That's because you haven't asked the Holy Spirit what to say. You just sit here and you go, no, not me. Your lack of knowledge needs to be filled with God's wisdom, every one of you. Song of Solomon 2:2, like a lily among thorns is my darling among the young women. We are not called to blend in with the thorns, but to be altogether different than the surrounding usual. Every one of us, we're supposed to rise up and recognize our place in society, our place of where we stand on this island that we live on. Every single one of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. Amen. Now, this doesn't mean that we've got to hibernate away in some cave or that we've got to barricade us from the world. Actually, it's going out there and explaining and showing them the good news. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And then he told them, go into the world and preach the good news to everyone. Everyone. Guys, let me ask you a question. Is it okay for me to perform surgery? Ryan, can I cut you open today? I don't think so. I don't think so. Does anybody need me to handle a court case for you? You may go into the there. I'll talk to the lawyer. You guys want me to do that? I don't think so. Would you guys like for me to fly the airplane that you'll be getting on this week? I have played a lot of video games. I think I can do this. No, not one of you. Not one of you. Romans 10, 14 through 15. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Many of us, we need to begin and we need to start paying attention and applying what the word is saying, recognizing God's voice, his answer, taking on his wisdom and his understanding, so that in those moments that we step up and we go, let me give you some answers, that it's solid. Otherwise, could you imagine you feel some turbulence on an airplane? And you're like, I better go up there and knock on the door and tell him how to fly this. It's time to start putting our faith into practice. It's time to start praying and reading the Word of God. It's time to start listening to the Holy Spirit and saying, not by my might, your might. I'm not going to contradict everything God's doing with bad doctrine and theology. This idea that, oh, sin, oh, my thorn. Oh, man, it's just the way it's going to be. I tell you what, God's getting me right now. God's getting you right now? Is God showing you things that you need to see? Through the midst of these battles and these things that you're dealing with, God wants to come in and say, hey, let me help you out. It's not him, it's the devil. Hey, we hear the scriptures. There was a woman in the Old Testament that was crippled, subjected by a demon for 18 years. Jesus said by the devil for 18 years. Interesting. Jesus even separated the fact when he said, they go, oh, remember the Pharisees, you are a part of the devil's schemes, you. And he says, well, how is that possible? A house divided. I put a demon in and I cast a demon out. That's a divided house. That doesn't work that way. No, I'm separate from those things. He confirms this. I believe what my God says in his word. I believe he does set people free. I believe that my God is instructing us to rise up, to pick up his mantle, place it upon us, and begin to course correct some of these behaviors by his moral values. To allow the Holy Spirit to say, don't do that. Go over here. Say this. Be that. Be this person. Hey, speak up right now. Speak up right now. Hey. Don't say a word right now. Shh. Don't get caught up in these filthy things of the world. Our God is doing something. He's doing something. And we are here to say, yes, God, what is it you're doing? I want to be a part of this. I'm going to let go of all my desires. I'm not worried about those worldly possessions. God, you'll take care of those things that I need. I'm not worried about those things. When you do those, I've got to believe. Isn't it funny how some people, they want to believe God can do some things, but not all things. It's really wild to me. I know that those people who are addicted to things can be broken free from those things. I believe those people who have done some bad things can be forgiven and they can transition. They can change. I believe that modern day Sauls can be changed into Pauls. I believe this. You have to believe this because you got to believe it for yourself. I believe that God can transform people, that God can change individuals. You personally can't change them, but God can. I've seen transformation in people's lives over and over and over again. So I'm going to preach a message where God can change things. But God brings the good news. Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 9. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. When you don't think it's possible, he says it is. When you think there's no hope, he says there is. When you say there's just no way, there's a way. You got to know what this word says. As a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, you got to know what this says. You need to know what you need to do. Otherwise, you're going to look as ridiculous as the person who's in a plane full of turbulence, knocking on the cockpit saying, you need my help. Doesn't work that way. Do you know why it doesn't work that way? Because I believe with my whole heart that if you gave me enough coffee and in 48 hours, I can sound like a surgeon. I can memorize all the different topics and terms, all this kind of, you give me enough coffee and enough words, I can sound like it. But when I walk into that room, I'm going to say, give me that scalpel. They'd be like, what? Give me that Sharpie thing. As I start performing surgery, there's going to be some things that they're going to say, that's not right. That's not normal. What you're doing, Excuse me. Do you have the authority to be in here? No, I drank a lot of coffee last night and I memorized a lot of terms. You don't have authority. No, you need to have authority. See, that's the difference. What gives you authority? Holy Spirit. How do you know the Holy Spirit? Being in his presence. How do you know to get in his presence? Through his word. By talking to him, by praying. When you begin to pray, when you begin to read, when you begin to dedicate your life to him, you're going to be given authority. We mean this when we say it. You're not useless. You're next. You're next. You need to get ready for this. You're next. You should get excited about this. I'm next. I'm next. God is preparing me for what's next. I'm next. I'm not useless. I'm next. I've got the good news. I'm ready to share that good news. I'm next. I'm ready to go. Don't be useless. Step up to what God's got for you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that in this house we're next. God, I thank you that in this house we say yes. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that you're for us. God, I thank you that in this house you're equipping the saints. God, that the Holy Spirit reigns upon us all of our days. Lord, that the Holy Spirit instructs us. God, I thank you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Lord, I thank you, Lord, as we step out in faith. Lord, I thank you right now, Lord, that your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And Lord, as we step out in faith, we will see the revelation, the revealing nature of who you are. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that we will believe through the storm. Lord, that I will not become subjected to the storm's powers. But Lord, that I will hold on to that promise that you've given us. With every head bowed and eye closed, I ask the question, do you want to know him? Do you want to know who Jesus is? Do you want to make him Lord over your life this morning? You're tired of this rat race. You're tired of just constantly hitting walls. You're ready to let go and say, Lord, you take control. If that's you this morning, then I'm going to ask, when I count to three, I'd love for you to raise your hand. You can put it right back down, but I just want to come in agreement with you. I want to pray with you this morning. If that's you and you want to receive Jesus, raise your hand. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for those hands that have been raised this morning. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus. I want everyone to stand to our feet. From a message like this today, I feel like it's really important that we all put our foot down on a firm foundation, and that we declare it this morning together. And those that raise their hand today, and at the end of service, we have a prayer room back here, my left, your right, back here in this corner, and we're going to have people back there, and we got Bibles and all kinds of stuff. Whatever you need, we've got it for you. But I'd like for us as a church to come together in agreement this morning of dedicating our lives to him. So I want us with boldness, I want us all to repeat this together as we pray this out. So say, Jesus. Come on, people. Say, Jesus. I give my life to you. I'm thankful that you've washed me with your blood, and I'm cleansed from sin. I make you my Lord and Savior. All of my days, I will follow you. In Jesus' name we pray.